Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Episode 9, and we're doing fine. This pandemic isn't to do with swine. Open the wine, this one's a cracker. I'm Richie Firth, travel hacker.
Oh, that's good, Rich.
Thank you, Christopher.
When you started, I was very suspicious and wondered if the fine was a sarcastic fine.
but it all makes sense and it rhymes.
It did. Did you aim to finish on Travel Hacker, or was it just serendipitous?
It went that way. Okay. Much like most of the hacks.
The stars just aligned.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very good.
You haven't had a haircut, have you? Yeah, or is your hair being kept back by the headphones?
Their headphones are keeping it back.
And he's not choosing to remove the headphones as I look at him on this call. So says to me, oh, woof, there it all comes. Think David Luiz, think Sideshow.
Is that what you wanted?
Not really, no.
It is what it is, Rich.
It is what it is, and this is Richie Firth Travel Hacker, a podcast to get you travel ready. It started off just hacking everyday journeys. Since we've been in pandemia, it's fantasy journeys, the journeys that you want to make sure you're ready for once all these lockdowns are a distant memory. You can suggest the journeys that you want to us. You can email us, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Richie Firth or at producer Chris. You can become a patriot. patreon.com/travelhackerpodcast/travelhacker.
Travel hacker. Yeah, that's that, you know, like travel hacker. I mean, the first one was wrong, but I didn't want to be hard on you, Rich, because you tried.
No, and you wouldn't be hard on me because that's the bit where the patriots are. That's the one where the smart money goes. Well, your money. Pay and subscribe and get bonus content to help Chris and I fund future hacks. And trust me, you'll look back on this in years to come when you hear what those hacks are, when we've actually done them, and you'll think, that is some of the best money I've ever spent.
I'm genuinely really excited as people get in touch now. You know, clearly every show is built around the correspondence that we get for the fantasy hacks. But we've started to get just a little essence of maybe you could do this for real. I'm thinking now about putting this series to bed and actually seeing you face to face in whatever vehicle it happens to be that we first hack and doing it, Rich.
Is a boat a vehicle?
Yes. A boat. What else is it?
A boat.
All right. But then you could say, is a car a vehicle?
Yes.
It's a car.
No, it's not. A vehicle
is... A car is not a car.
A vehicle is a mode of transport that has wheels. A plane has wings and a boat has a hull.
Is that technically true?
Yes. Anyway, coming up on this episode of Richie Firth Travel Hacker. I said coming up on this. Don't start checking up on vehicles now. We're throwing ahead.
Vehicle.
You curtained prick.
Vehicle, early 17th century, from the French vehiculi, or Latin vehiculum, from the word vehere, to carry.
With a wheel.
So a boat or an aeroplane could technically therefore be a vehicle.
Coming up on tonight's episode.
I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna get you, oh yes, I'm gonna get you.
I squealed when I came into Amsterdam. X-rated dong blasters. How many episodes are there in this season?
Rich, what's the loudest noise you've ever made in a vehicle?
I squealed when I came into Amsterdam.
Oh, God. It's weird because you got halfway through that sentence and I thought, oh, he's gone too far. And then you kept going and it just got worse.
Christopher.
Have you mentioned our Patreons, our latest Patreons, Rich?
It was the very next thing I was going to do. I've actually alphabetized all our Patreons. And today I thought I would feature the new Patreons, starting with the letter S. Samuel and Stuart, you are welcome to this latter part of the patriotic alphabet. If you want to become a Patreon, patreon.com/travelhacker.
So if your name is Xavier or Yawande or Zachariah, it's not get involved. We really want XYZs involved.
There is going to be a bespoke podcast very soon for the Patriots where I sing to them with their alphabetized names.
In order?
Yes.
Rich, you know that whole think before you speak thing?
Oh, dear. Christopher, let's have our first hack of the night.
Hello, Chris and Richie. I'm currently reading A Time of Gifts by Patrick Lee Fermor. This is the first of three books documenting Patrick's journey on foot from the Hook of Holland to what was then Constantinople in 1933, 34 and 35. I've attached a link to the plan of the route that he took, which we will post. Starting at the Hook of Holland and finishing in Istanbul, as it's now known, and on a sensible budget, Patrick stayed in various different accommodations, including workhouses. Do you think there is a better route to take? Better can be open to interpretation. Quicker, more scenic, more cities, landmarks, etc. Could a different route be done in, say, 60 days? Feel free to mess about with it, just the basis of an idea. Great show, Barry Rowlings. P.S. Fuck you, Chris.
Well, Barry, it's great to know we have such ABC1 listeners to the podcast and that they're literary. Great for our advertisers to know that they're aiming at such highbrow people. Chris, had you ever heard of Paddy Lee Horner, let alone the book?
Patrick Lee Fermor. I hadn't actually, but it does look really great.
Tell us about it.
Okay, well, basically, it is as set out. It is a travel diary of a quite insane journey from one like end of continental Europe to the furthest extreme. And for the record, Constantinople/Istanbul is the part of Turkey that's in continental Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go down that path with you again.
Turkey are in the Euros.
Okay, so you're accepting of that now. It's funny how you weren't about 5 weeks ago. So obviously this was done like pre-technology. He lost bits of the journal along the way, including a bit of it being lost in a castle in Romania that was eventually like returned to him. It just sounds like one of those wonderful things that if you had time and money and freedom, that it would be like a wonderful, life-changing and tough experience.
Well, it sounds like he certainly had the time because it took him just over a year to do the whole journey. 33, 34, 35, I think, were the years. Most of 34 and a bit of December of 33 and a bit of January of 35. But, yeah, it was a long old walk. I say walk. He walked, he horsed, and he sailed. Those were the three forms of transport that Paddy used to do the journey. Hook of Holland to Istanbul, in modern day parlance, is not just over a year. It's actually a 22-day walk. So Barry, who got in touch and said, could you do this in, say, 60 days? I'd say it's a very definite yes, because if you walked for a third of 24 hours, which would be okay. 8 hours a day.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Then you're easily going to do that in 60 days, because it's a 22-day walk if you were walking non-stop. So let's have a look at routes and compare to see how doable it is and how it compares to Paddy Lee Turmer's route.
Okay, it's Patrick Lee Firmer. And can I just give a little interesting fact about, you know, like in your... Do you have a Wikipedia page, Rich?
Me? Don't, not that I maintain, I don't know.
So, well, his Wikipedia page.
Oh, that's a frightening, shuddering thought.
I'm just looking you up now. Richie Firth. You're contained within... you're contained within a couple of other pages, including some absolute radio stuff. And weirdly, you've made it onto the Bugles page.
Have I indeed?
Through me. Oh, so Skinner launched his own podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, with Absolute Radio's Richie Firth. Anyway, so Patrick Lee Firmer's Wikipedia page describes him as a polyglot.
What's that?
It is a multilinguist.
Oh, like myself.
Handy for a... Yes, indeed. Handy for a trip like this.
Yeah, I'd say. Oh, well... But did he learn to speak languages by walking through all these countries, or did he think, cool, I learnt a lot of school, better go and visit these places? Chicken or egg?
I'd like to think it's a combination of both. I'd like it to be like, oh, well, I know how to speak Bulgarian and I know how to speak Croatian. And so he walked into Kosovo and was like, I kind of get this. It's a bit of that and a bit of that.
Well, look, he had a brain as well, because as you pointed out earlier, right. He did this journey when there wasn't tech. There no wasn't spoons. Google Maps. There wasn't City Mapper or all this kind of stuff. But he was clever enough to think, if I'm just going to do this, basically, without train and bus and car and all that kind of jazz, the easiest way to walk, as we've pointed before on this podcast many times, is along rivers. Because, of course, rivers are flat. Rivers can't do hills. What's your enemy of a river? It's a hill. What's the enemy of your walker? Generally, it's a hill. So he walked and horse and sailed. He used the rivers, three rivers mainly. The River Waal, never heard of it. I think it's Dutch. The River Rhine, heard of that one. And the River Danube, there's a song about that. Three of the longest rivers in Europe. He used those rivers for his route. So his route is dictated by that. I've dictated a straight route. Okay, I'm saying that your modern day 2021 person is fitter than your Paddy Lee Turmeric. So my routes, hills are no problem whatsoever. So I'm just
very
going
jaundiced
straight.
Looking guy.
He is indeed. So here's what we're taking in. For those of you, I know a lot of you like to follow our routes at home or wherever you're listening right now. We leave Hook of Holland. It's basically Rotterdam. We head towards Eindhoven. Then we head into Germany towards Cologne. We then head straight through Germany. A place of note that I would use as a little stop and off point, Bad Kissingen. There are some amazing German names, but wouldn't it be great if you're having a wonderful hike to have a picture taken by the sign as you enter Bad Kissingen?
Bad is German for spa, Richie.
A kissing spa. Oh, I wonder whether you could walk there with 500
miles.
A
bit like chariots.
So, Leamington Spa, if it was German, would be Bad Leamington.
Bad Leamington, correct.
Wow, there you are. I'm a polyglot.
You are.
Thank you very much. We leave Bad Kissingen. We head towards Vienna, home of the number two hit for Ultravox. We then
it lives
head...
there, does it?
Yes,
that's convenient. Yeah.
It did. It it retired to Vienna after it missed out on the number one spot by Joe Dolce's "Shut Up or Your Face." But you've not come here for pop facts. You've come here for travel hacks. We then head into Romania. Timișoara is the last city we pass through before we get to Istanbul, Constantinople. That's our route. How does it differ from Paddy Lee Turnpike's route? Well, his route is pretty similar, other than... the only places of note that I would say that he manages to cop off in are Bratislava and Budapest. Everywhere else, he hits. He hits Vienna. He hits Cologne. He hits Bratislava. He hits Budapest. And, of course, along the Rhine, the Danube and the Vaal. So, what's the better route? I'd say that you and I, Chris, we're seeing some fantastic cities. But he's probably less knackered because he's walking along rivers. So it's up to the listener. What's the better route?
How far is yours?
22-day walk.
22. Okay, I knew it was some kind of distance, and that is some kind of distance.
Yeah, I mean, 22 days, Barry suggested stretch it out to 60. Compared to 3 years, I'd say there's one winner.
Yeah, I guess there was more romance in his journey.
And he's writing.
Can I offer a little suggestion here? I think you'll quite like this. I didn't go for speed when I went onto Google Maps earlier on. So, Rich, you're welcome to play along with my idea here.
Okay.
I also started at the Hook of Holland. And then I thought, I wonder how many countries I can do and the route not be ridiculous. So,
right.
Netherlands, country number one. Walk south into Belgium. Yeah. Country number two. Keep going southwest through Luxembourg, number three. Briefly traverse the French and German borders, four and five.
Mm-hmm.
Into Switzerland, six.
Mm-hmm.
Liechtenstein, seven.
Yeah.
Austria, eight. A very brief dip over the Italian Alps into Italy.
Oh.
Nine. Slovenia, ten.
Yeah.
Over to Croatia, 11.
Yeah.
Brief dip into Hungary, 12.
Yeah.
Then again, a brief bit back through Croatia into Bosnia and Herzegovina, 13.
Yeah.
Serbia, 14. Montenegro, 15. Kosovo, 16. North Macedonia, 17. Bulgaria, 18. A tiny bit into the top clip of Greece, 19. Into Turkey, Istanbul, 20 countries.
It's fair to say that would be testing out his polyglot claims, wouldn't it?
I mean, look, if you really want to be a proper polyglot, you've got to do all 20 countries, I think.
You have indeed. Chris, I think we've given Paddy Lee Turmeric two very good routes. Is he still alive?
No, he died in 2011.
Ah, shitbags.
But I think, genuinely, if he was around now... I think kindred spirit.
He'd be listening to this. I think he'd be a patron.
A BBC journalist once described him as a cross between, and this is why it's so similar to you, Rich, a cross between Indiana Jones, James Bond and Graham Greene.
I'll take that. Here's an advert. Chris, I enjoyed that advert. Before we move on, what Bond would I be?
Oh, good question. I think at best you'd be Pierce Brosnan.
Why do you say it like that? I thought Brosnan was a good Bond.
I mean, look, he's the only Irish Bond, so I've got a lot of time for him. I just think
I'm now dwelling on the bit that says at best.
Yeah, because the truth is you're probably a little bit Roger Moore.
Okay, the one that everyone loves, I'll take that.
Sure. What's your favourite animal that you like to do an impression of in front of the kids?
I'm a great dog.
Oh, show me.
Oh, hello, Chris. How are you? Oh,
fuck me, it's a talking dog. I was not expecting words. Can you do any other talking animals?
You fire an animal at me and I'll make it talk.
All right, giraffe.
Oh, it's so tall up here. It's really cold.
Wow. I'm just absolutely, my mind is blown. I didn't know that giraffes were from the east coast of the US either. All right, then. A fox?
Oh, I'm a dastardly fox, I am. I'm a dastardly fox. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Oh, yes, I'm going to get you.
Slightly racist.
Let's have our second hack.
I'll be safe to have our second ad break.
That would be very optimistic.
Richie and Chris. Hello from Chicago.
Yes, shit nuts.
He says, that's in the American Midwest. Wow. Like, genuinely, if you are from the American Midwest, your letter can be a pile of old shit and it's getting into the show because this is a thread.
How many listeners do we have over there? This is astonishing.
I actually had to go back and look at the stats. We're 15% USA now.
Wow. Incredible.
My wife and I and our two boys, ages 12 and 15, had our first family trip to Europe cancelled due to COVID last year.
Bloody COVID.
Oh, fuck you. We hope to try again next summer. We planned to start in Venice and then travel to this sort of a certain part of the world we're zoning in on here, Slovenia, to visit family. There are a variety of options to get from Venice to Ljubljana, including coach, bus, shared van, hired car and train via Trieste. I'd prefer not to rent a car. What is your hack for a fun but efficient trip? Thanks, Mike.
Okay, got to take in a few things here. So first of all, you've got to think of Mike's family. So it's Mike and his missus and the two kids. So you've got to think what's fun for them. He's knocked out the shared hired car option. So that's gone. Is a shared van fun for kids? Hiring a Renault Kangoo when you've come all the way from from Chicago? I don't think so.
You'd meet people, I guess.
Actually, if you're landing in Venice, you're probably hiring a Fiat Doblo. I honestly do not think that is the start of the European trip that they're fancying. So I think we can scratch the shared van option as well. So I would propose, and he's also, once you've got all that way, you don't want to be having a long old trip. You want a functional trip. You want to take in, first of all, you want to take in Venice. Venice is where I proposed. It's an amazing city. Oh. I know the taxes have been put up a little bit now for if you're staying in Venice because it's sinking a little bit. And they're worried about the green credentials of tourism in Venice. But if you can do it, it's amazing. It's definitely somewhere to go once in your life.
And then you get a Findus Dong Blaster. Is that what it was called?
Fiat Doblo. That's the one. Findus Dong Blaster. Findus make frozen food, and the Dong Blaster, I think, is something that is after 10 o'clock and encrypted on my Skybox.
Oh, interesting. Thank you for that insight. Is it a vehicle?
Well, it's got wheels, some of them.
Oh, God.
X-rated Dong Blasters.
Don't want to be here.
Oh, grease me Dong Blaster, madam.
Right. Oh, show us your Findus.
She got a great pair of crispy fat pancakes.
Don't. Oh, Ridge.
Oh, it's another sex hack. Right. Let's leave Venice because it's putting us in a bad place. I've got a 5¾-hour journey from Venice to Ljubljana that I think would be fun for a family of four. Are you ready for it, Chris?
I was born ready, mate.
A train to Gorica. 2 hours, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. The train ride out of Venice is great. You go along a really, really long pier because, of course, Venice is Venice is built on stilts. So you go on very much like leaving the Isle of Wight, actually, Venice, because the Isle of Wight, you go on the pier. It's an old tube train, actually. And then you get on the ferry and go. So it's a bit similar. Once you're out of Venice on the train, it's 2 hours, 15 minutes to Gorizia.
Yep.
Once you get to Gorizia, two buses across Gorizia. So have you found it yet? You're looking mystically.
I'm looking at just at the foothills of the Alps, I see.
Correct, yes. So two different buses connecting across Gorizia, which should only take you about half an hour. Bit picky. But then once you're done with that, you're on a two-hour bus ride from Gorizia right to Ljubljana. So you've got 6 hours of travelling. You've got a little break for the kids to go for a waz in Gorizia. You've got time to pick up some sandwiches and snacks, probably find a KFC or something or other.
Yeah, I'm sure then, if you went to Italy, that's exactly where you would want to go and eat.
Italian fast food. I mean, what is that all about? Really, it's just pizza, isn't it? And they're not going to be doing Domino's, so I would suggest
pasta,
you find a nice...
Escalope.
Find a nice trattoria in the middle of Gorizia. Pick yourself up a quattro formaggi. Actually, do you know what? If we're going to dwell on food for a second, a tip that I always got told by some of my Italian family is if you're really wanting to eat authentic Italian food, ask for the calzone. Then check if you can change some of the ingredients on the menu. Because if they say, no, you can't, that's a bad calzone. If they say, of course, what do you want in it? That's a good calzone. Chris, why is that?
Because it shows that it's not a Findus crispy pancake out of the freezer.
Pretty much the correct answer. If you can't change the ingredients of a calzone, it means it's frozen and it's not a fresh calzone. Mm. If you can change the ingredients, it means they haven't yet made it, they haven't yet crimped it. You can have whatever you want. It's a fresh calzone. So I would say that to our Chicagoan family in Gorizia, have yourself a calzone, then to our bus ride, foothills of the Slovenese to Ljubljana.
Gorizia looks lovely, by
Doesn't
the way.
It?
I think that is a really valid suggestion for you to suggest people stopping off. Looks really pretty. It was the host of the 1979 Eurobasket competition.
Eurobasket? What's that?
It's like the European basketball competition. Like the Euros, right. But for basketball.
Okay, right.
A little bit of information for you, Richard. Recurring theme throughout the series. I've played cricket in Ljubljana.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I've played two different years, actually. I've played there. Didn't cover myself in glory, but didn't shame myself either.
Was that with the bat or the ball?
I bowled well, did not bat well. I did all right at bowled. The pitch they have just outside Ljubljana, one way faces the Alps from Italy that you've come. And it's, so you've got
from
the beautiful
Alps
Alpine view.
End,
and
Chris you've just got, Skinner.
Exactly. That is genuinely, one of the ends is like the Alps end.
Right.
And the other one is just a hill with like the 12 stations of the cross, like mapped out, like a big sort of Catholic mural type thing going on. Really, really beautiful. So look, Rich, I think if I could fault you on this, bit boring.
It is functional, I'll give it that.
But it is, you know, I think this fits into that sort of functional side of what we do on Travel Hacker. I did just check. It's only 230 kilometres if you want to cycle it.
Once again, they've been on a plane for all that time. Is their backside really ready for an Italian bike hire? I don't think so.
As Patrick Firmer would say, if you really want to travel around Europe, your arse had better be ready. So look what I actually think that would be a lovely journey to take. You could do it in a day on a bicycle. I mean, it'd be a long day, but you could do it.
It would be. I want to go back to Venice and I want to play cricket in Ljubljana.
Oh, well, who knows what 2021 might bring, Rich?
Hey, Patreons, get funding. Here's an advert.
Rich, I do love how we get about as many comments on the adverts as we do on the quality of our hacks.
People seem to tell us what they heard or what they didn't hear.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, if you are an advertiser, this is such a captive audience.
It really is, because these guys are dying. They are dying to hear an advert.
Yeah. they desperately, I mean, like, as we know, you, the listener, when you get the Vicar of Dibley advert, you like that, don't you? You do like that.
They do love it, which is why I'm sure Richard Curtis is going to personally sponsor this podcast very, very soon. But no, seriously, if you're an advertiser, these listeners, they tell us every single advert they've heard. There's not many listeners to any product that would do that. So come on.
Do you want to do Gretchen's letter or the final hack?
I'll toss a coin. That would be fair to Gretchen. We're 9 episodes in. How many episodes are there in this season?
We haven't yet decided.
10's a round number.
Okay.
You were saying earlier you didn't want to wish it away, but...
No, I mean, I like the idea of doing one more episode and then getting you in a boat or another vehicle.
Okay, well, look, I tell you what, it would be fitting that the last thing of this series is Gretchen's letter. So how about we'll have it as the season finale of episode 10.
Gretchen would live with that. I think, well, we did kind of promise we'd do it this week. But I get being told that you're not like, you're not, you know, on in the afternoon of the pyramid stage at Glastonbury. You're actually going to headline it instead.
We're basically telling Gretchen, look, it's worth the wait. We're going to climax together.
Oh, God.
Christopher, what's our last hack tonight?
I'm so sorry, Gretchen. Sun Crush has been in touch. This was on Twitter. The longest possible Europa League road trip, the Europa League is a football competition, for those who don't follow it, would be between Lech Vladivostok and CD Santa Clara in the Azores, which is technically part of Portugal. If I were a Lech fan who were afraid of flying, how would you suggest I take this mammoth adventure? Now, Rich, I think first things, you've got to tell people, just give us a sense of the geography of these two places.
Did you just say Santa Clara is in the Azores?
Yeah.
As in Portugal.
Oh, Rich.
Not the Santa Clara that is San Francisco.
Oh, Rich. Have you hacked the wrong hack?
Well,
since when? So where did you say it was? San Francisco?
Santa Clara in San Francisco, yeah.
Rich, when was San Francisco last in the Europa League? You pillock.
Well, on that, when were FC Vladivostok last in the Europa League? Yes, they are one of the furthest east teams in European football. But they're in the Russian First Division. They're not in the Russian Premier Division. So they're not in the Europa League. In fact, they got disbanded in 2020. And we'll come on to that. So I think that if we're clutching at straws as to where the Santa Clara is.
Don't we me in this one. This is not we.
I would say that my Vladivostok to Santa Clara, and may I just also point out that Major League Soccer is a really big thing now in the States. I think there are fans of football in San Francisco that would love to go and watch Vladivostok play a game in Russia.
Okay. So,
here's a hack
that no one asked for.
It would cost £887 for a round trip just to fly from Vladivostok to Vladivostok from Santa Clara. Of course, every word that I say is rendered pointless, because this should be a trip from Portugal to Vladivostok in Russia.
The important thing, though, Rich, is that you don't stop. So where is the airport? From which airport to which airport, for example?
San Francisco. We're changing at LAX, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We're then flying from LAX to Moscow.
No way.
Yes, it's an 11-hour, 45-minute flight. When you get to Moscow, after a little bit of time in transfer, it's a further 8 hours and 20 minutes flight from Moscow to Vladivostok. Alternatively, you could go by boat.
Oh, God.
Because Suncrush originally said that he didn't want to fly. So, how long does it take to sail across the Pacific Ocean? I've looked into this. 5 to 10 weeks is what it says. depending on weather conditions. Some of the other questions. How big a sailboat do you need to cross the Pacific? It's advised that you have a sailboat that's about 40 foot long or bigger. This is to make sure you can withstand some of the bigger waves. I've been on YouTube and looked at big waves. Fuck me, they're the size of liquid houses.
What?
How dangerous is it to sail across the Pacific? Cruising World website, you've got to be careful what one you find there, says the very size of the Pacific presents unique challenges, but so too to its strong currents, powerful storms, hazardous coral outcrops, and remote low-lying islands. But here's the thing, right? 5 to 10 weeks across the Pacific. The Pacific's, I don't know whether you've looked on a map, it's a really big ocean. But it's famously, like a, it's like a big bottom lady, in that the Pacific is bigger at the bottom than it is at the top. So it's probably quicker to sail across the top of the Pacific than it is its voluptuous bottom. So I've done some primitive calculations of my own. Would you agree, Christopher, that Hawaii is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? Give or take.
Yes.
Thank you. How long does it take to sail from San Francisco to Hawaii? Well, that is roughly 25 days. 2,500 nautical miles, but high-performance boats may be able to reach Hawaii within 1 to 2 weeks. So, it is possible, if you reach Hawaii within 1 week, and we're saying, give or take, Hawaii's in the middle of the Pacific, it's possible to sail from San Francisco to Vladivostok in a high-performance boat in a fortnight.
And what's the cost?
I don't know.
Okay.
The final question is, would you want to? Because...
Well, Suncrush doesn't.
Well, he must be a fan of FC Vladivostok.
Yeah, but he wants to go to the Azores.
Why?
Because that was the hack that he asked for.
I thought he wanted to go to Vladivostok.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Here's the thing, Chris.
Yep.
If you're talking about the Russian First Division, the longest away trip for a Russian First Division game is Vladivostok to Kaliningrad. And that is a 12-hour flight.
Kaliningrad is, of course, in that really interesting bit that shares no land border with the rest of Russia. It's stuck out on the edge of the Baltic Sea, I think.
Correct.
Surrounded by Poland.
It's all but more Poland than it is anything else.
Yeah.
7,000 kilometre flight. It would be the same as flying from LA to New York and back again. So that's some context for our American fans.
Big journey.
Big journey. The last time that was done... How many away fans do you think from Vladivostok went on that trip to Kaliningrad?
Six.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I just guessed.
Spot on. Six fans.
Legends.
Six away fans. And this is where it's a good story because they saw them win 2-0.
Oh, good result. Love a 2-0 away result.
It's the longest away trip for any league in the world. But here's the saddest news of all as to, and this is pertinent whether we've done a trip from Portugal or from San Francisco. On the 1st of April 2020, the local government announced that all professional contracts with sports clubs in their region had been cancelled to provide funds to combat the spread of COVID-19. Luch Vladivostok will drop to the Russian Amateur Football League once football returns.
It's tragic.
There is no away trip anymore. There is no more an FC Vladivostok. I daren't ask whether that's a hack.
Okay, I daren't answer.
Did you look into it as to what it would be like if you went from the Azores?
I did have a little look, yeah. Do you want some facts?
I mean, Suncrush might, because that's what he asked for.
So it's quite expensive. It would cost you about £1,600. You'd have to fly to Lisbon, then from Lisbon to Munich. Munich to Berlin, but Berlin to Pushkin International Airport, which I thought is quite exciting, and then Pushkin Airport to Vladivostok. It would take you several days, four flights, £1,600.
And he said he didn't want to fly, didn't he?
Yeah, but sod that. I mean, how else are you going to do it? It's like an island out to like the furthest part of Russia. Let me tell you about that furthest part of Russia, Rich. Interesting little fact here. It almost borders, well, it does border North Korea.
Yep.
And it answers, like, so I discovered just online in the week, Norway, Scandinavian country, not far from Scotland, is only one country apart from North Korea because of the size of Russia. So Norway has a tiny, tiny border with Russia. You travel a Kaliningrad to Vladivostok-style journey all the way to that furthest, far eastern bit of Russia, where it shares also a tiny, tiny land border with North Korea. Norway to North Korea with only one country in the middle.
That is amazing. And that's up there with your 20 countries for the Hook of Holland to Constantinople.
The equal and opposite journey, yeah.
We end episode 9. I promised it would be fine. I'm not sure it's been anything but that.
Rich, I think you did a good job with Barry.
Thank you.
I think you did a boring but effective functional job for Mike.
Thank you.
Complete with calzone tips. Sun Crush's bottom three moments of the series for me.
Of the series or of the entire podcast?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, bottom five of all time, bottom three this series. Don't make me rank them.
We've all got Gretchen's letter to look forward to next week for the finale. In the meantime, if you want to be featured with your hack in the last episode of season 3, the last season before Chris and I actually go out and hack in person with the Patreon money, you can email us travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Richie Firth or at producer Chris. We live on Twitter. We're always there replying. You can become a patriot, patreon.com/travelhacker. I know I get the address wrong lots of times, but we're really excited about Patreon because the very fact that you guys are supporting us, we're giving you extra bits and bobs, but the fact that you're supporting us with your cash is what's going to be able to help us fund the trips for season 4 that hopefully you guys are looking forward to hearing as much as we're looking forward to getting to do. So to all the Patreons, a genuine moment of sincerity, thank you very much. It's because of you that we look forward to season 4.
And if they'd given to us more instead of patriotgames.org, we'd have a bit more to spend.
I think I have at least once given the address out correct this time.
Fair.
Christopher, next week, I'm off to find things that rhyme with 10.
Oh, God, here we go. Okay, so let's play. I tell you what, cover your ears up, take your headphones off, and I'm going to do a little bingo and guess. Okay, so hen, men, then, when.
when.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.